Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Guys, huge breaking news.
Huge news just coming off of our fresh off the press from our show in New York.
We have two shows coming up in January.
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. Doll, ever heard of it? It's where rock stars go.
Our home state, our home field advantage.
We're going to be doing a show January 11th and January 18th at the one, the only Dynasty Typewriter.
Los Angeles, 2023, January. Be there. We need our we need to feel represented, and we need to feel our home city loving us. So please come get tickets. There's going to be two shows. Come to one, come to both.
Guys, we've done
it's a mini residency
incredible.
Goal.
We've done our incredible two shows, launched COVID and ended COVID at the Roxy, and now we launch a whole new chapter.
So come be part of it.
There's pre-sale information for if you're on Patreon. If you're supporting the podcast, you're going to have access to a pre-sale. Okay, if you're a Patreon subscriber, Dolls, you're the priority here. And we have a pre-sale launching on Wednesday, October 19th at 10 a.m. And I'll give you the special password and the pre-sale registration link. Look for that in the Patreon description. If you're just a normie and you're getting this shit for free, you can also get a pre-sale, but it'll be a little bit later, Doll. And the general pre-sale is going to start Thursday, October 20th, and it will last till 10 p.m. And then all tickets go on sale Friday, October 21st.
Wow.
There's a lot of chances to get in early. These shows are going to sell fast. So we look forward to...
We'll see you there, Dolls.
Pre-sailing you.
Come out and see us. Come out and support. Come out and loll.
It's going to be fun.
I'm back in L.A. Back from New York. I'm a little sad.
I'm a little sad.
It was a little melancholic flying home in magic hour.
It's riding high in April, shot down in May to do a crazy successful show at the Bowery Ballroom.
Guys, you had to be there.
Have the crowd going fucking nuts the entire
time. People were standing.
Feeling like a rock star.
See that? People were standing.
Yeah, it was standing room only.
People were standing against the wall on either side, and then in the back entrance, like in the lobby area.
I know. I was like, wow, this feels like a sold out funeral. You know, like at really popular people when they die, sometimes people just have to stand in the lobby.
A tragic death.
I know. And I was like, God, this is amazing. And then you go out, you celebrate with friends, you just like soak up the vibes.
And then
the next day you wake up and go to DSW to return some hideous boots and then schlep your hungover ass on to JFK where someone tells you you need to take 5 pounds out of your luggage because you can't check it. And so you unpack and then pack and then weigh your bag again. And they say you got to take one more pound out. So you take a pair of jeans out.
Oh, damn.
And then put it in. I tried to engage in like a conscious, positive dialogue about the reasoning behind the bag weights. Like not being a troll, but just genuinely curious. Right. Like,
were they
much in the way where I was like, I'm genuinely curious about airflow gate. Like, I was like, I'm genuinely curious about why
airflow gate
the door.
Oh,
I know. Let's leave the past in the past.
Yeah, let's leave it. But I'm over it. I'm like, I know. I don't even think about it anymore.
But so I was like, I'm just curious. Like, I'm not trying to be rude, but when you guys say, why do you have weight limits on this bag?
You can't try.
No, but I'm trying. And then I was like, so why do they have the weight limits? Because when I take anything out of that bag and put it into my carry-on, it's still the same amount of weight that goes on the plane.
How did they respond?
He was like, well, there was a big crash and that's why they did the weight limits. But I was like, but it's not really a weight limit because you're still carrying the same amount of stuff goes. It's not like you take 10 pounds out and then ship it somewhere. It's like you're just putting it in a different bag, but the same amount of weight. So that actually doesn't, I was like, that doesn't really make sense. And then what? I'm just trying to engage in a dialogue.
I
just want to understand.
People who work at the airport don't want to have
a
dialogue.
I was also nice about it. I know you're just doing your job, but I'm just curious. I just wonder like what they say. And he was like, honestly, he's like, someone told me it was a crash. I don't know. But like they have cameras everywhere and they know like if I let heavy bags on the plane, they know that I'm the one that did it. And so they can track everything that I do and then I get in trouble. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And I was like, I hate technology. I hate surveillance. And like, I hate the weight limit and it doesn't make sense.
Nanny stayed at the airport.
It's truly,
that's,
you're under
those
surveillance.
Those people work so hard and like,
I know. And I was being like rude.
No, I know. I'm just saying the fact that they have to like be annoying to thwart losing their like benefits.
Yeah, to have some fucking snitch be like, we see that you let 5 pounds extra on the plane 3 times, you're fired. Like,
also that feels like a ruse, like the crash thing. That feels like a,
no, that's fake.
That's like fascist.
He was like, some passenger told me that. I don't even know if that's true because it,
I mean,
can't,
that's
it
how
can't,
Aaliyah's plane went down.
I know, but if there was a real weight limit, they would weigh your carry-on. Yeah. They would weigh all the stuff that you bring and then be like, you can't go over this amount. But it's not really a weight limit. So what the fuck is it? Also, if you go business or first, you get 77 pounds.
I don't know what it is.
It's control and it's rude. And it's, again, a human rights violation.
Oh, my God.
And I won't stand for it.
I felt human rights violation when I was standing at the snack hub on my JetBlue, and where you can go self-serve.
Okay. Where you can get like chips from a basket.
It's like a stock, it's like a hutch kind of thing. And this Gen Z cool guy who was sitting in the exit row, I nearly fell over because he darted past me to get to the Cheez-Its.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, whoa! And I, like, and I felt really oppressed. And I felt like it was, honestly, homophobic.
They're making people fight for their lives.
The flight attendants were cracking me up on my flight. They were not. They were on a mission. This one was on a mission to remind people that they should be listening to the announcements. And it was, she was killing me. And I was like, I have no choice but to stand this queen.
Yeah.
She was being so like perfectly passive aggressive. And she was like, this woman with her kid that was sitting in front of me, like kept asking her things that they had just said, which is like, I get it. She's a kid. She's probably not paying attention. And it's like,
but also, haven't you flown before?
Yeah, like, but it was also like,
same song,
honey,
and dance.
We know the deal.
Just shut up. And no, you don't care. No, it's not going to crash. You're fine.
She had like a giant carry-on that was like too big, and she had it sitting in front of her. And the woman was like, you can't have like a suitcase sitting with you. And she was like, well, but, and she goes, well, if you listen to the announcements, that's why you really have to pay attention to what the captain is saying, what the lead flight attendant is saying, because these were announcements that were just said nearly 2 minutes ago. And the mom was like, okay, but, and then she asked something else, and she was like, those were also said in the announcements. And I was like,
okay, yeah,
bitch,
work.
I was like, yeah. I was like, I see you. And mm-hmm. They should
take her bag and open the exit, emergency exit, and just throw it out onto the ground and let it explode, and just do it. And then
she was like, and unfortunately the doors have closed and we are sealed in now, so great, we have, and she was like barely containing
it. She made her pay.
And then I saw an entire row that was empty, and it seemed like we were done boarding. It was like 2 minutes had passed before I saw a single soul coming down, and I was sitting, you know, it was like right behind me basically, and I was like, can I, if no one's sitting there? And she goes, we're still boarding, sir. And I went,
she was over
got
it.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm on your side.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, it was an amazing trip. I love New York. I felt a sense of melancholy and bittersweetness at like the passage of time.
Mm-hmm.
And like that a place can be your whole world and then it's just not anymore.
Yeah.
And you don't really know it anymore. But you still do know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I felt
home there still.
That's good. I felt a sense of possibility. And even leaving the Sheraton, I was like, I oddly don't want to leave. I've been Stockholmed into being like, I'll miss it here.
Yeah. The Sheraton.
That was on you, Dole.
That was on me. But you know what? It was a slip that I'm owning. Usually I'm on top of it with hotels. But this was not a win, and I own it. And I have to say, a nice straight guy, while I was waiting for my Uber to go to the airport, a nice straight guy said, hey, man, I saw your Whitney Cummings video. It was really funny.
I love
and
that.
And I was like,
a Twitter recognition.
Yeah. And I, you know what? And I thought, I love the Sheraton.
Yeah, this is a big. I said it to you in text, but I was like, the Sheraton is Carrie's Overlook Hotel.
It is.
And that guy was your Lloyd.
It's crazy that it's a place, I said it on the show, but like a place that I've walked by so many times and been like, for
that's
the life
a real
of
piece
me,
of shit.
I will never stay in this hole, and it is a complete nightmare place. And then I end up staying there.
And not only did you end up staying there, you did a passionate pitch to me, got me on board, roped me into your nightmare. And on it, okay, I'm gonna say, can a fan please make a graphic of that picture at the end of The Shining with Jack Nicholson surrounded by all the people in the 1920s. I need you to put Carrie's face on Jack Nicholson's and make it the Sheraton.
Do it.
Please make a Sheraton Shining graphic featuring Carrie, and you can put my face on something too.
Laura can be in the back just like...
But Carrie's Jack. I have to say, back to crazy flight attendants, really just trying to gain an modicum of respect.
Right.
We had a really frantic male flight attendant on my flight from LA to New York.
And do you mean a gay man?
I don't know. I didn't feel attracted to him, so he must have been straight. Mm-hmm. But he could have been. You can be frantic and straight.
That's true.
He was so obsessed with no one texting during the times when you're not supposed to text. And I think we've all understood by now that it really doesn't matter if you text in the air, on takeoff, on landing. Like, that actually has nothing to do with anything, and it's just another power play. But he was, at the end of the flight, he's like, we're beginning our descent into Los Angeles. Even though you might have a bar available on your phone and you are wanting to text and be on the phone, it's one of the most dangerous things you can possibly do. So please don't do it. And I looked at a guy that was sitting across the aisle in the window. We made eye contact and he just shook his head at me and we both laughed because we were both like, this queen is fucking lying through his frantic teeth to try and get us not to do this. But I love being like, you
we
texting right now will cause irreparable 9/11. Damage. You will be responsible for the death of hundreds of people.
He, on behalf of this New York-based flight crew, We thank you for not texting upon landing, Joel.
I'm obsessed with it. It's one of the most dangerous, incredibly dangerous things you can possibly do.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Look, I get it. I mean, I cannot imagine. I can't even begin to understand the strength it takes to be a flight attendant.
No.
It's super fucking natural. And like, even if the flight attendant is like miserable and so rude and mean, like I still respect them.
Oh, absolutely.
One, because I might need them in the event of an emergency. They'll be my fucking lifeline.
You want to be on their side.
And two, yeah, you don't want to be, you want them.
You don't want them to like stick a foot out as you're trying to emergency exit and trip you and you break all your teeth out your mouth.
But they're, out your mouth, Dole. But they're truly like.
They're warriors of the air.
They're like nannies in the air. We're all like, everyone on a plane is a giant baby.
Do they work like 14 hours a day?
They probably, it's probably like a nurse. It's, you know how like nurses work like 12 hour shifts 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And then they're done. That's like their max. They probably do like two or three. I mean, any flight attendants listening, weigh in. I'm imagining it's not, it's like a few days of
crazy
mad rash
hours.
And then you have off.
Cause I was like, if someone's going from like LA to New York and then back, that's like 14, that's cumulatively like 14 or 15 hours of work, including like getting to the airport, getting on the plane, getting it ready. And like, I was just like, damn, that's such a long day. You have to be like on, also you're like on your feet, taking off landing, pushing that cart around.
Just breathing in that air.
Breathing in everyone's shitty breath air. And like repeating the same, I guess now you can mostly push a button and a video will play.
But
also people are just fucking bitches on flights because they're literally getting treated like subhuman pieces of garbage from the second you walk into an airport to the second you leave, unless you're paying like thousands of dollars to sit business. It's a tough job.
It's a really tough job. And like now you have to deal with like crazy people freaking out and yelling at you, especially like during the pandemic.
Oh my God, I can't even.
And when also you're like, that's happening on top of like the airlines not giving, not helping us out. And like so many of us are getting sick and fucking dying in the beginning of it. And like no one was helping them. And they were just like
on the plane.
No, of COVID. Like so flight attendants in the beginning of COVID were just like being forced to fly, I feel like. And like they were getting sick and some of them were dying.
Oh, damn.
From COVID. So like back before like vaccine and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But like they just were not getting any respect during that time.
Yeah, they're the true warriors, the true fighters.
But some of them are truly terrifying and I like, I'm haunted.
Yeah, I mean, they got to do what they got to do in this world.
I'll never forget when just a gag, the entire flight, the flight crew was all gay men on this one red eye I took.
That's huge.
And they were totally, like, at one point it was like 2 a.m., and I like woke up and I could just hear them all like they were having like a kiki in the kitchen in the galley and just lolling, being so loud. And like I obviously didn't say anything, but I was like in my head I was like, I want to tell them to be quiet so bad, but I'm also truly terrified of them.
Oh, see, that would make me feel really safe.
Oh,
I think
no, I feel
like laughing, like a bunch of gays laughing.
No,
near
I felt
me.
Safe, but I felt I would be too afraid to be like, hey.
Oh, wow. I would never in my life tell a group of gays to be quiet.
Especially gay flight attendants.
No, never.
That's another,
like the one, that's the line you do not cross.
Because they will.
I'm more sensitive to people talking in like a long monotone voice to like when I missed my outgoing flight to New York and then just had to like trade miles to sit in the lounge for hours.
Yeah.
And like I became truly, that lounge was my WeWork and I was an employee.
You were that guy. Who's the founder of WeWork?
That long haired guy.
Yeah.
And I was Jared Leto as that guy, just typing away. And there's this woman, her husband, sitting next to me. And I was like, marriage looks like hell. Based on their rapport, which was she would speak at length in the most long monotone, like making observations, being like, oh, the light switch is on. I like to turn the lights on sometimes when I'm at home, but then other times I like to turn the lights off. And when I notice a light switch is on, I think about, wow, the lights are on and energy is flowing. And then, but sometimes it can be nice to like shit like that.
Where it's, hell.
And he was not saying a word. And I was like, this man wants to die. And she
fuguing?
Is the cause. He was fuguing. I was starting to fugue. I was
cute?
Like, no. They're just like an older couple. And she was just like blabbering away. And I was like, God help us all.
Yeah, that would
And
make...
that's the kind of thing that like grates on me, I think, more than hearing like.
Well, no, I get noise. I looked at flight attendants. I mean, they're always like poker face and like always chill as hell. But like, I'm always like waiting for if they're nervous, then you know what I mean? But they never will show it.
Yeah. But once I watched that TikTok about turbulence.
I've become.
Then I was like, I'm never weirded out by turbulence again. It's only landing and takeoff that you really need to worry about.
I know. My dad always says, because he flies, mm-hmm. he said the first 7 minutes.
But turbulence is actually NBD because you're basically just like suspended by pressure in like a jello mold.
Yeah, it's like planes are made to ride. It's like just a boat going yeah. through like waves. But
and if you're in a Boeing, say a fucking prayer.
Say a fuck. We won't go down Boeing gate again. But
no, but you guys know.
You guys know. You know.
What else is going on?
I watched Morbius.
That's on you, Dole.
Well, okay. It was like the number one movie on Netflix. It was like the biggest
on Netflix.
Yeah, it was
on
Netflix.
A Netflix movie.
It came out on it streamed on Netflix.
Oh,
it was like
missed that.
It was like killing the game, Dole. And they had a huge engagement, and that's why it became like, because it was so bad.
Morbius.
It was like a cult movie.
People, I think COVID, okay, here's my big.
Well, hold on. So,
okay, you go, and then I'll go.
I just need to say, and I feel I will not be saying cut this out.
Wow, bold.
Jared Leto is one of the worst actors of all time.
Agree.
He's a terrible actor.
Agree.
And no one can convince me otherwise. And I don't care that he won for that fucking movie that I don't even want to talk about. Fuck him and fuck everyone who's perpetuated the Jared Leto industrial complex and that we all must like pretend that this motherfucker is a good actor. He's a terrible actor and I'm not a professional actor, but I can say with confidence, he fucking sucks. And Morbius was a piece of shit. And shame to make Matt Smith be in that movie and that girl from Ambulance be in that movie because they're stars. And they did not deserve to be acting their little hearts off on screen beside Mr. Leto. And Tyrese did not deserve to be in that movie.
Tyrese deserves much better. He deserves many more Fast and Furious movies to be made that he can star in.
Also, Jared Leto literally looks like Pete Burns from Dead or Alive.
We got glamored by Jared Leto as Jordan Catalano.
He was good in that
then
role. He was cute.
The industrial complex continued and we've all just bought into this lie.
But it's a lie.
I've seen the face of God, and it was not when I saw House of Gucci, but afterwards, where God revealed to me that Jared Leto is one of the worst actors on the face of the planet.
He's bad. He was okay. Jordan, obviously, that's an iconic role.
Well, that's that aside.
He was a cute twink.
But here's the deal:
his face scares me, and also he's like
he's sucking the blood of youth to look so young.
He's also like,
I'm like I should be vegan because Jared is so well preserved.
I don't appreciate him.
I don't appreciate him either. I think that COVID depleted brain cells of people. And I think people have gotten dumber. And as a result of having gotten COVID. And I think that
COVID did make us all dumb.
COVID did. It really did. I think the long-term studies are going to be like, oh, everyone got a little bit dumber. And I think that that's reflected in what movies top at the box office now. Because it literally is like movies for fucking stupid people with brains that are about as functional as a dog's.
Except
like,
Smile.
Except Smile, which is fine. But like what was the top movie? Like Lyle Lyle Crocodile was number three. I guess that's like a kid's movie, so whatever. But what was the number one movie this weekend? It was shocking.
Barbarian?
No.
Great movie.
It wasn't Barbarian. I have to look because I was like, what?
No, I agree. Anyway, Morbius was it was like unbelievably bad.
Well, yeah. I watched Black Phone or tried to on the plane. I was like, I'm going to Black Phone it.
Damn, that's
time.
Intense.
Well, I was like feeling like just, I like to be harrowed sometimes. You know, I saw Saving Private Ryan recently on a plane. And I was like, okay, I could go down this path. The child acting in Black Phone
Incredible.
Is so fucking bad. What? Incredible.
The sister.
She was terrible.
Oh,
Carrie.
I thought she was great.
What? She was like my least favorite kind of child actor that's like insolent and everything is like well spoken and just the attitude. I was like, this is not. I was
interesting
like,
because I thought all the shit with like the spooky stuff I didn't care about, but I thought the children like beating each other up, like I thought that was like very like raw and real.
I have to wholeheartedly disagree. I thought that they were so bad. They were like ungrounded in that time period. They had no natural like flow with each other. Their dialogue was like, It was really bad. I just had to turn it off. I was like, I can't take this.
I also have to say, it was like weird that they kind of glossed over the fact that like Ethan Hawke was like a pedophile. Clearly.
Well, yeah, if he's like,
I know, but like they just kind of like, I mean, they went there with so much, but I was like, why? Like,
I don't know. I literally could. I got 12 minutes into it. I was like, these fucking flops. I was like, these actors, fire them all.
I watched
Halloween Ends topped the box office.
Oh, of course it did.
Yeah, but like that movie is.
But that's a guarantee. It's like a legacy, like IP movie. Of course it's going to top.
Yeah.
I watched, and I want to finish it. It was actually so, I was like charmed. Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
I know. I should have watched that.
Was so, I fucking love her. And it also, Jason Isaacs was in it.
I don't know who that is, but everyone...
You've seen his face.
Yeah, everyone that... My mom loved it.
Oh,
my gay friends loved it.
It was a fucking romp.
I think everyone who has watched Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris has loved it, and I need to watch it.
It was a fucking romp. It was just like...
I love an old lady going to Paris. What's not to love?
Post-World War II, like...
Haute couture.
Widow going to Dior.
Mm-hmm.
And then Isabelle Huppert is like a bitch in it, and
that's cool.
Her. Yeah. Oh, it's so great.
She,
I have to finish it.
It's so cool.
Isabelle Huppert?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
What can't she do?
Truly nothing.
I know.
Lifetime achievement. Greta.
Greta's incredible.
Actually,
it's bad but good.
Okay.
I was thinking of that movie. I was thinking of Elle. I got my wires crossed. But Elle is so good.
Well, she was nominated for an Oscar for that.
Yeah. But Greta was tight too. Anyways, should we get into another great crowd of people who truly are charming, put in the work, and should be movie stars?
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Sexy Unique Podcast.
Jersey Shore, bitch.
Whatever.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. It's the morning after the first night in South Beach, and Ronnie was having a three-way kiss.
In bed.
They're back at the house, and Ronnie's, like, so drunk, and he's, like, in a place of just true evil. They get to their room, and all the boys are kind of scandalized by, like, what he had just done.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yo, I did mad work. I did mad work. I was like, oh, God.
He seems like he's on something else other than just booze.
I think he's on dry goods.
Dry goods. What's dry goods?
That's
drugs.
What we call that in recovery. It's like
drugs.
Powders.
Wow. Dry goods. Yeah. He was giving, I did work tonight. I did work.
Yo.
He goes, you know what I'm going to do? I did that at the club and I'm going to go sleep with my girl now. That's what I'm going to do.
He goes, How about that? And they're all like, okay.
I like knowing what, like, going a shade too far for these boys, where they're all just like,
they're all
like dogs at the end of the day, like when it comes to hooking up. But that,
it scared them,
and they were like, that's wrong.
Ronnie, when he's that drunk and like that on one, I've never seen on any kind of reality show. Obviously, we've seen so many people be fucked up over the years, but I've never seen someone with like that little light behind their eyes when they're drunk or high.
It's like his eyes go fully black, True Blood style, mm-hmm. and he's channeling the devil himself. And he goes, it's evil.
And
he's
Sam,
evil.
Of course, lets him in.
I know. I said, girl, please have a little bit of self-respect.
Then he says, I'm speechless. Which I was like, wow.
Polly, you know when he's like seen too much and touched darkness? And he just is silent and laying. I like him silently laying sideways, yeah, and just staring.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sitch is like laughing, but it's uncomfortable laughter. And it's like these guys,
they're pigs, but you're
like,
you're a hog,
you're Beelzebub.
Yeah. So the next morning, Ronnie's the first one up, and he's like doing that like post blackout shame check-in where you go and you ask everyone
what they saw, and then you claim to have been so blackout you remember nothing,
and you try to get on everyone's side, so you're like really like sweet and you're like, hey, what's up?
When he went and laid with Sammy in the night, in the dead of night, she goes, did you do anything? And he goes, no. And then he's checking in with all the guys, and they're just like still shell shocked. And he goes, oh, I was blackout. Like, I don't remember a thing. I don't remember a thing. And then Paulie goes, you're part of the IFF, the I'm Fucked Foundation. And this is like my favorite thing that they do is make up these little jokes with each other.
They're good jokes.
And they're so funny because this is what you do with your tight friends.
I know.
You just like rib them and then make up inside jokes, and we're so lucky to get a glimpse of that kind of love.
Paulie D's also on the phone with his BFF called Big Mike, and he's relaying everything, and then he confirms to Ronnie what he did, and Ronnie's like, damn.
Ronnie has like a bandage on his wrist in his confessional. I was like, this man is hanging on by a thread and always has been.
I was so insulted when he said I had a schnookie night. I was like, no, don't bring her into this.
Yeah, because she keeps it fun. She's messy, but fun.
You take it to a place of Hades. Don't bring my girl into this. Do not slut shame her like that. And fuck you.
And you try and hurt people when you're drunk. And that is the difference.
He doesn't do that.
I'm like, what's the difference between you and me?
I would have been so... If I heard that, I would have been like, fuck you.
Yeah, Ron needs to get checked. He goes... When Sam finds out that I made out with three women in the club, she might get a little mad. I was like, Ronnie's having a manic episode. He's like a cutter, and he has a full-blown girl interrupted bandage on his wrist, cackling to himself about his own bad behavior. I'm like, 5150.
Speaking of cutter vibes, Pink is coming out with new music.
I'll see you at the Pink Tour 2023.
I'll be watching.
Because she fucking serves. She bootses the house fucking down.
Pop superstar.
Ariel.
She's a Ariel ribbon style. Dancer.
Ariel superstar.
Ariel superstar. Click, click.
Sammy comes out and she's feeling like, you know, she's just feeling like the cat that got the canary, because a blackout Guido juice head slept on top of her covers last night.
I'm
like, honey, please.
But she's also like, I'm watching it and I'm like, this is what's happening. She reverts into mummy mode. Like, oh, mummy. She reverts into like breastfeeding mode. And she's like, to Ron, come sit here so you can eat. And she makes room for him and she's like taking care of him. And Ronnie's like, you're my mom.
There's also a level of shame because it's like, okay, everyone saw him yell at you in a car, call you a cunt. And like verbally abuse you, psychologically torture you, and then you let him sleep in the bed, and everyone knows that. So you know that they're judging you, and you're also judging yourself for your lack of self-control. And you're also embarrassed, but then you're also obsessed with this guy, and it's very relatable. Like, been there, but also I'm like, honey, like, this is so bad, and I can't believe this is the nascent stages of their 9-year relationship.
Ronnie's in like the mode to spiritually breastfeed.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, and then Sammy starts grilling all the boys.
She goes, did you do you last night?
Nope.
He goes, no, I'm black. I don't remember. I'm blackout.
But then all the guys are like, they want to cover
Paul
for him.
Paul is fuguing sideways.
They want to cover for him, obviously, but they're also like, they feel bad and they're like sheepish. And Sammy clearly knows the answer.
Yeah, they look guilty as fuck.
She knows. I'm like, you know the answer in your heart.
She goes, what do you know that I don't know, to all of them? And they're just kind of laughing. And that's when you know that nothing good happened.
The boys all put on matching black tank tops and head to do like their errands.
That was hot.
They looked really hot.
And they look hot.
Were they GTLing?
They're GTLing.
And then the girls go shopping, and Sammy goes, shopping in Miami is like different than places in Jersey. And they go to a sex store for like a trans owned sex store. And
They go to a shop called Funky Sexy Couture, which I was like, spiritually, that's the podcast version of the clothing store. I love Sammy. Before the girls go shopping, she goes, I'm just like so frustrated right now. Like, I just like am frustrated. And Snooki goes, you know what you need?
A cocktail.
A cocktail. And I was like,
she's Snooki's a good girlfriend.
A self-help coach.
Yeah, Ronnie, I just do not dare compare yourself.
There's something about watching Jersey Shore also that has made me want to like drink more because they because they are so like shameless about booze and like cocktailing and stuff. And I was like, I love that for them. And I love that for me.
Shout out to the person who was at the show wearing a Jersey Shore shirt.
Shout out to the Shore Store front row.
We love Girlina, you.
We love you. Sam, the way she's describing this store.
Sam needs a... This is
pre...
Sam needs a lesson.
Pre-trans discourse.
Sam needs...
I don't think it's a trans-owned shop. I think she just says...
I think it was like a queer sex store.
Really?
Yeah, I think the person behind the register looked queer.
But she goes, we went to a shop because it has all the stuff that a would wear. And I was like...
Mm. But then JWoww was like, this is my kind of place. These are my people. And I just love this world. And
true,
I'm like,
ally.
She's a fucking trans ally. She's a queer ally. JWoww is real. And that's cool that she knows where to go.
Also, when JWoww puts that top on, it looked like something that Kim Kardashian has worn from Balenciaga. I was like, JWoww's so fucking ahead of the curve.
It's cool that they're like, I feel like JWoww and Snooki, like, we're going to, like, LGBT kind of hubs to get, like, wacky, like, crazy outfits and, like, hot outfits, like, before it was cool.
Yeah. And they're like, we like this style. And, like, this is representative of the aesthetic that we're going for. And they're aligning themselves. Like, even if they don't understand what they're doing, their just, like, general sensibility and the way it aligns is, like,
queer.
That's why. That's why they are superstar.
Sammy was like kind of uncomfortable.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's in hetero hell in like a mommy son.
Yeah.
Electra complex relationship. Snooki buys $395 gloves. I was also like, I love it to see them have some money.
I know.
They deserve it.
Yeah. It's nice to see them like a little green, a little flush.
And she's like, the glasses were $395 and he said he'd give me a discount and then he gave me like $2. I was like, thanks, bitch. And I was like, I love that. She gets them for like $350.
Angelina wakes up at like 3 p.m. She has multiple people calling her at all times.
She sleeps all day and then comes out into the main common area just smirking.
Full face. Bang swoop.
And
to the gods.
Bangs to the gods. Flats on.
Flats. She is the queen of ballet flats. I've never seen someone wear black flats like her.
There's a type of ballet flat that like is very unflattering to the foot.
It makes it look
it makes your foot look really wide.
Yeah.
And it's not like a slimming.
No, it's like a duck bill.
It's
or a
bad.
Duck
flat.
Like
and
a duck.
There was that time where it was a ballet flat and a dress combo that was just horrific.
Wasn't it like a ballet flat, black leggings, a skirt, and then like some kind of tank?
I'm guilty of it.
I mean, that was all.
Like, I wore like Spanx mid-calf leggings under like a jean skirt.
Yeah. And like
flip-flops or a ballet flat and like a tank top or like a vintage rocker shirt. And it was bad.
Any listeners who were too young to remember this, like, this was a time, the late 2000s were a weird time.
Where you would wear a cropped legging under a skirt.
It was
Lord
very, like,
have mercy.
It was very, like...
I had a side bang.
It was Warped Tour doll.
I wasn't even, like, into that music, but it was the moment.
Katy Perry was, like, the queen of that look for a
minute. She was. And Lindsay and Nicole Richie, like, traded in that look, but they were also really thin, so you could get away with much more.
Lindsay was really chic.
She had a style all her
like
own.
Like a trashy chicness.
Yeah, like everything would be expensive, but she had a very particular way of putting things together that was very her. I always thought Nicole Richie was like the pinnacle of chicness. Mm-hmm. Anywho, Angelina sits next to Ron and she's just like giving him a look like, I know everything you did and I want to tell people, but I have the power and you have none.
She does give a really good, she's like, you guys should just not be together.
I think personally as your friend, you should be single.
She's right.
That's the most right thing she's ever said.
It's the only right thing Angelina has ever said on Jersey Shore.
I love what, but she also is doing this thing that I find incredibly cringe where she's like, as your friend, as someone who loves you, and it's like the other people don't feel the same way about you and you're just trying to speak this relationship into existence.
I know. Snooki drops a whole thing of barbecue chicken that Mike put in the fridge minutes before. I relate
it. She opens it, it falls everywhere on the floor, and she's like, Matt, fell on my slippers. And then Vinny's like, you gotta clean it up. And then they're just wondering what to do.
They're like, this is when you see how young they are.
Mike, Daddy Mike, in the hot tub smoking a cig, I was like, fuck me.
He looked really fucking hot. And
literally, me taking my bathing suit bottoms off and just slowly sitting down and having full-blown sex with Mike while he smokes a cigarette, my back turned to him in the hot tub. I was like, holy fucking shit.
He looked really, really good. And I think Vinny, you see Vinny being like a total like kept baby because he doesn't know how to do anything. Mike is like the middle child.
Mike's also older than everyone and he's like daddy. He's Big Daddy Sitch. And he goes, they actually left the chicken on the floor and asked me, what do we do with the chicken on the floor? Pick that shit up. Yeah. I was like, this is me truly 24/7 in this moment.
Mike also was like,
that shit up.
But he was like tickled by Snooki.
I know, but I'm also like, I've been there so many times when people are like, what, when you get asked like this dumb question where you're like, just like use your brain and like do it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, pick that shit up. Snooki, I was like, Mike, I stand with you.
Snooki puts a single sheet of paper towel on it. Like, I'm like,
just meh. Vinny going, Snook does not know how to clean.
Well, either do you, Vinny.
I know. And so they like are lightly trying to like clean up this barbecue chicken mess while Sammy
finds Ronnie's little black book and
looks in it.
Of course, looks through it. It's like, I wonder if he did it on purpose.
Either way, if your instinct is to go on your significant other or someone's thing, you should never do that because you're looking for something bad. And when you're looking for something bad, you're going to find it. And you won't stop until you find it. But also, you just should never go through other people's stuff.
That's rude.
Like, that's just, period, don't do that.
She sees he'd just written in the number for Caroline, who's his ex. She gets furious. This is what the problem is with these two, is they're both really dumb and really angry. And that's a terrible combo to have.
And really horny for each other. But they want, their love language is conflict.
They want power. They both just want power, and that's what's happening. So it's never a good combo when you put two people like that together.
It's just so exhausting. Like, I've been in a relationship where we had lots of conflict, and it was just navigating from, like, one thing to the next. Never, like, a Ronnie and Sam style. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I can't do that shit. Like, who has the time? After one fight like that, I'd be like, I'm out. You know what I mean?
That comes with time.
Yeah.
You might not, like, when you're younger, you don't always have that wherewithal.
I know, but also just to see Ronnie's total and utter lack of personal evolution in this part of his life, it's shocking.
Mike orders food because they fucked up his chicken, and he goes, name for the order, situation. And the operator goes, wait, can I get your name? He goes, it's situation. He goes, are you kidding, man? Whatever.
He goes, yeah, it's situation.
He goes, I was worried he wasn't going to spell it right.
I know. I was like, ooh. And then Mike's laughing, but it's like a little bit of self-conscious because this guy's like not playing the game.
Well, the guy probably knows now. He probably thinks it's like a prank.
Yeah. I love Ronnie going to the guys after he and Sammy have like yelled and she's locked herself in the bathroom crying. And he's like, she went through my phone book. Like, what the fuck? Like, and they go, why would you ever write a girl's name? Like, why would you write the girl's name? Why don't you hide it? And Polly goes, yeah, put in Joe or something.
They know.
Just put in Joe.
Why did you leave your fuck book out? Like, he did that on purpose.
He wants to be single, but he also doesn't want
to lose mommy.
He doesn't want to lose mommy, and he doesn't want the pussy to be off the table.
Yeah.
And guys like this, I think this is a very typical straight guy move, is like, they're unwilling to cut it off, but they're gonna do a ton of disrespectful shit until, yeah. And they're gonna make the woman be put in the situation where she has to be the one to be like, no, and set a boundary. Mm-hmm. And then they will push that boundary still. Like, even if you say no, they're still gonna try and fuck mm-hmm. you or hook up with you. And then it just becomes on you to like, constantly reinforce a boundary that you set.
Well, even later when she goes to like apologize to him, like she apologizes to him. He takes no blame.
I know.
He takes no accountability. He lets her apologize. He gaslights her into being like, you should be thanking Caroline because she told me to stay with you.
And this is the thing, is like,
it's
so fucked up and it's frustrating, but it's also like, you just have to be, when you're in that situation, you have to be the one that's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking with you like that. And like, you have to be so strong because it's not like a two-way
no.
street of both being like, we don't need to be together, blah, blah, blah. And it's hard to be strong when you're, I guess, in a house also with your ex, which is fucked up.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Angelina and Snooki have like a confrontation because they've been basically treating, the girls have been basically just not acknowledging Angelina like she's a ghost.
And her only choice is to hang out with the guys, but she also loves being one of the guys.
She's, but they all,
thinking she is, but they also hate her.
They don't like her. And so Snooki finally is like, you talk shit about us. You did this to yourself. You've been talking mad shit. And then JWoww?
So it all stemmed from Angelina, I guess, went out in Long Island one night and she was talking shit about Snooki and she called Snooki's man a fucking midget. And so then that got back to Snooki right now. And she's like, you can talk about me all day long. Talk, talk, talk. But don't talk about my friends and don't talk about my man. And then she's like, I've had it with this bitch. And she goes out to confront Angelina, who truly is on a chaise with a solo cup
Yeah, with her flats.
Sleeping with her flats and her eyes closed. And I was like, this is...
She's levitating.
She is levitating.
JWoww, the way JWoww struts outside.
JWoww's WWE now.
She goes... She struts out in such a way that's like so at once sexy, but also like truly like brute.
I want her to like body slam me on the floor, but then like make out with me and we have like blue is the warmest color sex.
I just think she's so cool. And she comes out and she sees...
Snooki leads the charge.
She immediately goes, she goes, what's going on out here? And then Snooki tells her, and then she looks at Angelina and she goes, you ran your mouth in Long Island to my best friends. And then she goes, who are your best friends? And she goes, J420, Joey Yang.
This was a true Jersey moment of like, who are these random people that anyone... J420, Joey Yang.
And then all of a sudden Angelina goes, oh, J420, those are my friends. I was just like, I was crying.
Because
I was like, it's very like MySpace.
It is. And it's also Mob Wives. It's also like Lucas Left Eye.
But it's a different... It's truly
the modernized version of that.
These were probably all their like MySpace names, like JWoww, you know what I mean? Snooki, mm-hmm. Like, and I just love J420, Joey Yang.
Snooki goes, do not talk about my man. He's the sweetest kid ever. Like, he doesn't deserve that. And then cuts over to Ronnie, who I think is blackout again. He's gone full tiny fedora. And that's how you know, like, someone has reached a level of unwell that they need a straitjacket.
He's gone Lou Bega, Mambo number 5.
He's gone a little bit of Monica in my life. And he's laughing hysterically. He's like,
I mean, I would be laughing too.
Yeah, he's like, for once, it's not my drama.
JWoww looks at Angelina and she goes, I'm going to swing. I'm going to get you. And she goes, you sleep with one eye open.
She goes, oh, what do you want to do? She goes, you want to stay? You get your ass beat. Stay, get your ass beat. Stay, or get your fucking ass beat.
And then she goes...
you sleep with one eye open tonight. I'm going to make you sweat it out. I'm going to make you sweat it out. She goes, you'll be sweating. I got you, bitch. And I was like... I'm even like... like, I love it.
I got you, bitch.
And I got you, bitch.
That is like... And Angelina is like... You can tell she's pissing her little leggings, but she's also like... trying to be like, oh,
she likes
fuck
the
you,
attention.
JWoww. Yeah. Finally, the girls are talking to her. And then the phone rings and they go, hey, is Angelina there? And then Snooki picks up and she goes, she died.
They go, can I speak to Angelina, please? And she goes, no, she died.
And then they call back and Angelina picks up and he goes, Angelina died?
And she goes, no, what? Like, someone said that. And I'm just like, Snooki, this is why she's the queen of life.
She is. Ronnie and Sam like make up and it's fucked up, and like we said before, he makes her apologize to him, which is like, this is the dynamic it's gonna be.
This is crazy. And also then he does a thing that's also indicative of being deeply unwell. He's like, I just needed to feel something, and I needed to feel like deep, deep pain, so I decided to get a tattoo in the worst place you can get a tattoo. So he went and got like a crazy tattoo. It that took 4 hours and has Sammy come with him and like hold his hand the entire time.
Mummy.
And
he gets hands holding a rosary, and it's so Catholic. He
goes, I need you.
He needs to suffer. He needs Sam to watch him suffering for her.
This is
his way of apologizing to her.
But it's also approving, prove your loyalty to me and prove that you'll be there. Because she goes, I'll always be there for you. I'm always here for you. Always here. She goes, even if I hate him, I'm always there for Ron. And then he's like, thank you for being there for me. After they're like walking away, like, arm in arm, she's like, I'll always be there for you. And she goes, but I'm still, you know, I'm still frustrated. I'm having a hard time. And he goes, I'm trying. She goes, I know, I see that. And I'm just like, it's literally been 24 hours.
She also, he's the one who got a tattoo. It's not like he's getting stitches.
No, this is like self-flagellation.
Mango, come here.
He's fine.
Oh, look at his little head.
I know.
Angelina hangs out with the boys. Sad. She goes, honestly, I get along better with the guys anyway. I'm like, no,
I don't know why, but I was like, I know why. Because you have fucking daddy issues, probably. or you just want like male. I get it. But also like get your shit together. But also get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here.
Time to go, bitch.
I feel for her, but I'm also like, your energy is terrible. You're just bad vibes. No one likes you. And it's just like, know your worth. Get your trash bags and get the fuck back up to Staten Island, honey.
Yeah, you're the Kim Kardashian of Staten Island. Go, like, be the most popular girl. I love that she's getting called so much when the phone rings and Vinny goes, Angelina, phone. And she goes, hello. And they go, is Angelina there? I was like, and then everyone laughed. I was like, this is incredible. Like, and it is also a unifying and bonding experience to be in a house with people and all hate the same person.
Yeah.
It's good for the group.
It's good. That's what like society always needs.
It's good for the group. It plays out on a regular basis on social media.
She's the witch.
She is the whoever the cancellation of the day is on Twitter, yeah, is like Angelina. But I think it's healthier when it's IRL and not online. And they deserve it. Yeah.
They go out to the club. They go out to bed.
Back to bed.
And the music's like, here I'm going out tonight. We're gonna be. I was watching this and Simon was packing and he went, I wrote this song for you.
I said, this is Carrie in his Bushwick era.
It was. Ron is wearing sunglasses. Angelina's also wearing, and she gets black the fuck out. And these girls come over. This is when I felt bad for her. Because these random fangirls come over and they're like being nice to her. And she has a look on her face of almost like awe that these women are being kind to her, because I think she's been feeling so like...
Well, they have identified her as the weakest link. And they're like, if we dance with her, we'll get in and we'll be able to be closer to the table and the real stars.
And be on TV.
And you pointed out a great observation, which was... You know that they're famous now because they're wearing sunglasses indoors more often.
Yeah, which is like, you shouldn't do that even if you are famous, but...
But you know you're feeling yourself.
Yeah.
Smash cut to me in Oklahoma City in 2004 wearing like Elvis-style sunglasses, just like walking into the gas station with like a graphic tee and like tight flared Rockin' Republic jeans.
Rockstar.
Fucking rockstar. Being like, I'll have a pack of Marlboro Lights, please.
She gets so drunk that she's literally falling, and these girls are, I want to be like, these are not your friends. And that's when I felt for her. And even though she's doing a lot of this to herself, I felt for her in this moment, because I'm like, she just wants to be seen and accepted and loved, and these people aren't giving her that. And it's like, she needs to just go away.
All of it stems from a deep insecurity.
Yeah, and she clearly has people who care about her, because they're all ringing.
I mean, everyone's calling her up but also it's like she probably told every single person in Staten Island she was gonna be at this house, and here's the phone number, so like call me. And like the reason that they're doing it is partially because she's on the show, and they like want in on that action.
She's their link to the
whole thing is tragic. And it's hard watching Family Reunion, because I think she becomes like a regular cast member. She comes back, and I'm just really trying to reconcile the new Angelina versus the Angelina that I grew up on.
I think she just has the deepest regret for leaving. I mean, I think it's just, you feel it. You're like, she just missed the boat. Like she, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she missed that rocket, and they all went to the moon, and she had to stay back.
I also have similar regrets like that in life, or like, so she triggers me in that aspect.
She's a shadow.
She is the shadow. To accept her and to stan her
is to know
her. Is to accept yourself and stan yourself.
Polly's like flirting and kissing this girl, and Angelina is like, I don't know if it's love, but she feels like a weird like territorial thing over Polly and Mike, because she's fucked both of them.
I thought it was Polly and Vinny.
No, it was Mike in LA.
It was Vinny, I'm pretty sure.
I think she fucked Mike too.
Oh, well.
Anyway. So she's kind of like drunk, and she's in that place of like just hitting people.
To kiss Pauly D, to wrap your arms around his neck in a darkened, crowded club, and be the only person he sees for that 10 to 30 minutes.
Beautiful.
While you just clutch your tiny Burberry purse.
Mm-hmm.
I can't know a more heavenly feeling.
He's sexy.
He's so sexy.
But Angelina goes, you're talking to a girl that's AKA married.
You're talking to a girl. She's basically going to get engaged. She's going to get engaged. And he goes, I don't care. I don't want to get married. He goes, I'm just talking. Like, what? Get out of here.
He also goes, weren't you dating a married man?
Yeah. And the way she just like cock blocks them, it's like.
It's bad. It's horrible. It goes beyond just like annoying bad vibes cock block into like.
Territorial, thinking that you're like, you think that if you do that, they're all gonna want to fuck you.
It's sad.
It's really dark.
It made me cringe for her, and it made me just want to be like, go home, baby. Like, you know what I mean? Time to go back
to SI. Pack those bags.
But when they get back to the house, I was like, this is the throuple from Blonde, and she is Marilyn.
She's in the kitchen with Paul and Mike, and they're cooking late night food.
Mike and her both have their sunglasses on.
And Angelina is like shit tanked. And she's being like, no, I love you. Like, I love you. But like, you're with a girl that's like AKA engaged. So why are you doing that? And he's like, don't worry about me. Like, worry about yourself. Like, who cares? And she goes, I don't care, but I love you. And I'm just like, this is awful. She has become crazed.
And Mike and Polly are like,
she's the Marilyn of Staten Island.
She's like, this is basically your last shot. Like, we're the nicest people here to you, and we don't even like you that much. But don't piss us off, because if you don't have us, you have no one in this house. And she starts crying because she knows that's true. And then she looks up at Polly and just slaps him. And I was like, that's it. She's done.
Mike. Paul immediately fugues. He goes total silent stare. You can tell rage. That he wishes that Angelina would like self-immolate in this moment.
And Mike is just like, why did you do that?
He goes, oh, you're going to slap him? Like, don't do that. I love when Mike gets like hyped, because he also is a messy bitch who lives for drama. And so he likes it when stuff like this happens.
But he's also one of like five kids. So he knows like.
He goes into like coach Mike mode.
Yeah. But he also, I think, is just like very socially savvy. And yeah. He's like.
You don't get like that. You don't get like, don't be like that.
So then Angelina kind of like crosses her arms and walks outside. I love you. I didn't mean that. And she goes outside and she still has her sunglasses on.
She's also rocking a round toed pump. Round toed pump trend haunts and haunts, but I know that it's mere matter of years before it circles back. Yeah.
She's also wearing blue contacts. I was like, Snooki.
Girl.
And she tries to touch Mike again, and he goes, or Polly, and he goes, do not touch me. Are you touching me?
He's mad.
And she senses it, and she is, the look on her face is one of pain. Because she knows it's over.
There is also a point where JWoww does brawl with Angelina in Miami.
It's coming.
And I can't wait.
I think it's the next episode.
It's a really satisfying, I'm not a person that like likes violence by any stretch of the imagination.
It's a good one.
But I do enjoy
a righteous
watching
smackdown.
An annoying bitch get exactly what she deserves, which is to get just fucking the shit kicked out of her by Jenny Farley. Yeah.
Seeing someone get a righteous smackdown is...
At the hands of JWoww.
The hands of someone who's icon.
JWoww honestly should star in a Wonder Woman movie. She should be in Wonder Woman 3. If we were living in a justice world, she would be... She would replace Gal Gadot, honestly, as Wonder Woman.
Are you kidding? She should.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
JWoww could do Wonder Woman, but Gal Gadot...
Could not do Jersey Shore. And that's
the truth.
That's talent, Dole.
That's talent.
I want JWoww to have her own...
gritty series.
Yeah. She should be like G.I. Jane. She could do a one-arm push-up. I love Mike going... I've seen JWoww in the gym, and she's not fucking around. And I want someone to say that about me. I want to get on my
Mike
protein
is such a gay
kick.
Bitch. I love him.
I know. And like, to be like eyeing people in the gym. Like, he's, when she does like lat pull downs, he's clocking like the weight and the reps.
Anyway, guys.
JWoww's a strong woman, and so is Snooki.
I'm long watching them made me bittersweet even more about like just having just left the Northeast.
I know. I was also thinking like I yearn when I moved to LA, and like part of the reason of moving to West Hollywood was like putting myself in the middle of the like I loved like psychotic LA bitch culture, and like even though I don't participate in that, I liked being tangential, or I liked being living in close proximity or living within that, and like watching it unfold on a day-to-day basis on any given street corner or any little cafe or the workout classes. And I no longer enjoy that aesthetically or like experientially. But what I do yearn for is Juicehead Guido Jersey Shore culture. And to, like, I want to just see that kind of energy unfold. And that is what New York gives me. That's what the five boroughs have to offer.
You need to do it.
I know.
So anyway, everyone, listen to our live episode.
Our live episode might be out by now, but it also might not be. And if it's not, that means it's coming, Dole. But listen to it. We were on fucking fire at the Bowery.
So it should motivate you to come see us when we're playing in a city near you.
I know, because more is coming.
In 2023.
Love and light. Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.